In July, a landmark lawsuit was filed that many people have been waiting decades to see. A lawsuit against the oil and gas industries for their role in the destruction of Louisiana's coastal wetlands. But this suit didn't come from an environmental group or a private landholder. It came from the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East, charged with maintaining the huge hurricane protection system recently built around the metro New Orleans area. The authority says the wetlands that once cushioned storm surge are gone, raising storm surge that reaches their levees and flood walls, increasing the cost of them to protect the city. Leading that suit was John Barry, vice president of the authority. Mr. Barry is best known as the author of best-selling books, including Rising Tide. We reached him at his Washington residence, where he lives when he's not in New Orleans. Why did the board sue the oil and gas companies?
It's clear that they have contributed to the land loss. There is a pretty large study, which included industry scientists, which said that statewide the land loss attributable to oil and gas production was 36%, and that's sizable. In addition, the industry in nearly all cases, those permits required them to repair any damage that they caused and to minimize the damage that they could not avoid. They hadn't done that. We're desperate for funds to protect people's lives and property. They are the wealthiest industry in the world, and they haven't kept their part of the bargain.
When did the board first decide to take this path?
You, of course, can never vote in executive session, but we discussed it for months. We had a meeting in which we invited Garrett to Graves, a CPRA head, to attend, and he did attend in January, and we did not actually conduct a vote until June 14th. Interestingly, in all of our discussions, while there are some very hard questions asked of attorneys, at the end of the day, in every one of those discussions, I believe we were unanimous about going forward. Again, we never took a vote, but it seemed to me there was a total consensus on what action to take.
Would you tell us the three issues that are named in the suit and how that affects your job protecting the city and the area?
The first is that the companies, in the overwhelming majority of cases, when they were operating under permits, agreed as a condition of getting the permit that they would minimize any problems and that when they abandoned an area, they would restore it. And they have not done that. Their defense seems to be that nobody made them keep their word and keep their promises before, so why should they keep their promises now?
If they were operating under a permit by the state or the federal government, and neither one of those authorities have sued them or taken them to court, wouldn't that say that they did the work properly, they abided by the terms of the contract?
Our role is as a third-party beneficiary, or in this case, injured party. Operating according to a permit does not relieve someone from the obligation not to inflict damage on somebody else. That's as a general principle of law. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I may have misstated it, but it's somewhat along those lines.
So the second issue? Or
The second is the Rivers and Harbors Act of 1899, which prohibits doing anything which will, quote, impair the effectiveness of a levy, unquote. If you send any increased storm surge against it, if you do anything that brings more wave energy upon a levy, you are impairing that levy's effectiveness. The third, it's called servitude of drain, which goes back to the Romans and has been in Louisiana's legal code for a couple hundred years. If we can demonstrate that there's any increased storm surge, then they need to fix all of what might increase that storm surge. That's pretty powerful.
Under servitude of drain, do the properties have to be contiguous?
They do not have to be contiguous. The limits are whatever the science shows. There's already in case law in Louisiana an instance where a party 30 miles apart from where the activity was conducted, and that was ruled as even though 30 miles apart, that was still a valid complaint. And again, it would be as far as the science goes. It might be 10 miles, it might be 50 miles.
One of the criticisms leveled against the suit by Governor Jindal has been repeatedly that it's just trying to, I think he said, line the pockets of trial lawyers.
Well, I was trying to find people who would do it pro bono, and these, at least one of these, is a pretty good-sized entity. But you're talking about thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours in total of legal work. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars out of pocket expended for scientific research to buttress your legal arguments. It takes a heck of a lot of resources to carry this on. And the only way you could get anybody to do this was on a contingency basis. And remember, if they don't win, they don't get anything. They not only have lost all the time they put into it, I can't imagine that they would spend less than $5 million out-of-pocket cash on this stuff. They could easily go way over the $10 million mark and quite a bit higher. That's a lot of cash to lose. So it's not entirely unreasonable that for someone willing to take that kind of gamble, and in reality, these firms could conceivably even go bankrupt if the cost of this case got up there enough. If you're willing to risk bankruptcy, then I think it's reasonable to expect a pretty good return.
To be certain and clear about this, you were not approached by attorneys.
Quite the reverse. I asked for recommendations from people I have high regard for and are internationally known in environmental litigation. And the first name on the list was Gladstone Jones. I called him and he was interested. I think the industry serves a obviously not only useful but necessary function in society. It certainly provides a lot of benefits to the state of Louisiana, a lot of jobs. But this is not going to cost any jobs from oil and gas. They're going to stay as long as the oil and gas is there. When it's gone, they're going to leave. They're not going to leave because of this lawsuit. All we are asking is for them to fix the part of the problem that they caused. So to ask them to obey the permits, to do what they promised to do when they got the permits to take that oil and gas out of the ground, I just don't see what's controversial about that. The issue isn't popularity, and the issue isn't politics. The issue is trying to protect people's lives. Early in this process, another reporter asked me, why am I doing this? And I thought for a second. I said, because I love New Orleans. And I want it to survive.